What's up, everybody? New single from the Slackademics out, this one called Our Own Island.
Nothing to phone home about. You're just waiting for Godot. We're on our own little island. Tracy was in the sand.
This vibey reggae track is written by our drummer, Josh. Good job, Josh. I love this song, and honestly, it might be the most fun song we have to play live. Sadly, that doesn't help me understand what the lyrics are about or anything like that. Please give the track a listen and a share on the streamer of your choice. As I've mentioned before, the new Slackademics album, Pass Fail, comes out in April, but you can already pre-order it. Just $10 on our Bandcamp page. And the next Bandcamp Friday is March 6th, which means we don't have to pay Bandcamp any of their cut. On that capitalistic note, let's listen to the soothing sounds of one of our trumpet players, Max. Max, Max.
But there's no one, no one to see you through.
It's like, okay, do you know who Tim Armstrong is? The dude from Rancid, who's also like a producer.
Yep.
This is like if I had, if the Slackademics record that's about to come out had a clip of him saying, hey, Mark, you're so punk. And I'm go, oh yeah, Tim, why? And he's like, yeah, you sound like you're a homeless kid who on Hollywood Boulevard in 1984. And I literally was like, thanks. Tim. Love it. I'm like, Justin, come on.
Yeah, you're like, you're Canadian, bro.
Hey, I'm Mark.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Nevermind the Grammys?
The Grammys!
Yes, 2026, which means music from mostly 2025 and some 2024.
Which is actually confusing when you look up, like, give me the list of the people that are nominated for Grammys. Like, I really stumbled over, is it 2026 or 2025? Like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, it's also weird when something's released late in the year.
Yeah.
Like, for example, maybe this will come up later, like Taylor Swift, her new album did not get nominated because it's a little bit late to the release by a few weeks. But if you're looking like a decade later, oh, when was Life of a Showgirl nominated for Album of the Year? You're going to be looking at the 2027 Grammy Awards in February 2027 for a 2025 album.
And I
right?
would just like to bring up on the podcast that when the Grammy Awards came, the nominations came out, we were texting. And you said, I can't believe Taylor wasn't nominated. And I'm the one that said, it's because she missed the deadline. And you were like, oh, you're right. And I just want to go on record when I was right. That's all. That I was right.
It's on the record, unless I delete this when I need the edit.
Yeah, you probably could. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
So it is a little tricky sometimes to figure out what exactly is nominated. But we, in this episode, are talking about the 2026 Grammy Awards, which are happening on February 1st. So this is coming out, I think, on the 20th. Everybody's got a week and a half to listen to some of this music if you're interested. If you want our takes on last year's Grammys, we did an episode like this last time. And that's where you're going to get some sweet, sweet Andre 3000 content, some
so
Taylor Swift deep dives on tortured poets, all that kind of stuff. Even if you already know the results of the awards.
Still a fun listen.
Are you going to watch the Grammys?
I am going to watch the Grammys. I like the outfits. I like to see who gets too drunk and like acts up.
Right.
I like that. I like the interpersonal stuff.
Somebody.
Yeah. I want to like see the drama. I don't want to read about it the next day.
And there's,
like, see it
there's
unfold.
Performances, which is kind of cool.
The performances are cool. Last year's Grammys had great performances. Like Doechii performed at last year's Grammys. And I was like, who is this person? And I got obsessed with her. And like Benson Boone.
Right.
When he like, they like ripped the thing and he did the flips and stuff. That's
he did the thing with the other thing. And
with the other thing. And it was like so cute.
So I will not watch the Grammys, but I will watch the performances.
Why
later.
Not? Like as a
I just can't.
Rule?
I just, no, it's not a rule so much as a creed.
Okay.
No, I just kind of never do award shows. I don't know why, but
I like
I'll watch the performances. I just sort of don't vibe on that stuff. The outfits, I get, it's cool. It's just, you know, the worst moment in a reality show, like a competition reality show, when they say, and the person cut is boom, boom, god, boom, boom, god, boom, boom. Mark, you are in, right? That feels like the whole award show. It's like 40 minutes of content over 3 hours, except for some performances. So I will try to check the performances later, but I'm not planning on watching it.
Oh, I like to watch it.
Yeah.
I like to do themed snacks and stuff. I get into it.
So last time we did some big picture talk on the Grammy noms. Mm. And specifically, one thing we talked about was that A, it was a lot of women nominated for Album of the Year and a lot of those big awards last year. And also there were no groups, not even duos, to say nothing of bands. And that has changed a little bit.
Yeah,
we have
a different
collection. We've got, first of all, a group, Clips, was nominated, and that's a duo.
Okay.
So that breaks the solo artist streak. And also, it's kind of flipped from the perspective of gender. We have six men or male groups, Clips would I will count as on the men's side, and then only two women nominated for Album of the Year this time. Unless my math is wrong, we've got Gaga and Sabrina Carpenter. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
So pretty different.
Pretty, very, very different.
Aside from Sabrina making a repeat showing.
Do you have like the, last year we did the Vegas odds. Do you have the Vegas
odds? I've got the Vegas
odds. Oh my gosh.
And I did randomize the order. We're going to talk about them. Though I did not use random.org. This time I used my polyhedral dice app.
Oh gosh.
So like, do you ever randomize things when you're doing tests at school or anything?
Yeah.
Like order? Because like I will have my students in my music theory and oral skills course do sight reading final exam. They have to stand in a room with me and like sight read music, and I will randomize which one they do.
Yeah, I don't.
And I roll a virtual polyhedral D12 to determine which one they
do. You don't have a D12 die?
I could bring. I used to bring it.
Like and have the kids roll, have the students roll it. That's kind of fun.
It felt a little bit performatively nerdy. I make them try a little harder to find out how nerdy I am this time.
Oh, yeah. So, I use a lot of stuff like that. Like, I'll randomize test questions. I'll give multiple versions of the same written, like, exam in class, and I'll randomize the order of the questions so they can't cheat.
Yeah. But you don't use, like, a D30 to do that or anything?
No. The only thing kind of close, and it's actually very, very cool, for group names, there's a cool, like, Tribe Called Quest name simulator that I use online, like a name generator.
Not the Wu-Tang.
Oh, it is the Wu-Tang. I'm so sorry. No,
we've talked about the Wu-Tang
name generator.
Because that's Childish Gambino's
Right, that's how he got his name.
That. Right, supposedly, yeah.
Also, notably, not nominated for a Grammy this year.
Not nominated for Grammy. Does he have an album this year?
No.
I don't think so.
He's making music. Though
I do want to mention him later, actually.
Oh.
Shortly.
Stay tuned.
So we are going to do the betting odds a little bit, just for the albums, not for the songs.
Okay.
And I just want to remind everybody how betting odds work if you're not someone who's lost half your fortune on the sports books. If you see a line saying -200, what that would mean was you have to bet $200 to win $100. So that means that person is that team or whatever is a favorite.
Okay.
So you would have to bet 200 to earn 100 in win. So they are highly favored in that case.
Why would you bet 200 to earn 100?
Well, because you
then earn 100.
You would get 300, right?
Okay, you'd have
pay 200.
Okay, I get
you wager 200, you would get 100 in profit, right? That's -200. If something says +200, that means something or someone is an underdog. So it means if you bet 100, you win 200.
Yes.
So +200, you double your money.
Do you want to like actually make a money bet on the Grammys?
I have a feeling we're going to probably have similar. I don't know. Maybe. Let's see how it shakes out. So I will say, you know, we are recording at a legal casino right now.
Yes,
so any
it's
bets
true.
That we do publicly are completely
totally
legal.
Legit. Yeah. Totally legit.
Under the Commonwealth laws.
Yes.
So I will say, though, nobody is a true favorite according to the odds. So there are front runners for sure in the odds, but nobody has a minus.
Interesting.
Right? Nobody's like -200 or anything like that. And I think maybe somebody might have been last year. Randomized order. We are starting with Tyler, the Creator's Chromacopia. Which was released in 2024.
I loved this album. I like Tyler, the Creator, for a couple different reasons. Like, do you ever see the animated Grinch movie?
You mean the one from the 60s?
No. The newer one.
No.
It's very, very good.
Yeah.
And Tyler, the Creator, like, did the soundtrack for it.
Wow.
And it was really, really, really good. Like, the soundtrack standalone it's like a, dare I say, interpolation of original Grinch music. that he just like put his spin on.
Maybe it's just a cover.
No, it's not a cover because he changed stuff.
Oh, okay. So like a reinterpretation.
A reinterpretation, sure.
Right. Your vow. You have tremors in your smile. You have all to the sweetness of a season crocodile. Mr. Grinch, you're a flower. Friends, you don't have none. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. Cool.
So that was my first exposure to Tyler, the Creator. And I listened to this album and really, really loved it. I thought it had like a cool, like New Jack Swing type of vibe to it. And maybe that's not true, but you'll correct me.
So I do think some things had kind of 90s throwback feel, though not as much as some other things we're going to talk about later. But this is when I'm going to mention Childish Gambino. I think similarly, those artists both have really clever arrangements that change a lot, that have a lot of really unique instrumentation and samples. And the genres are just jumping all over the place. Yeah. There's like jazz, R&B, hip hop, obviously sort of rock in there. It's sort of unpredictable in this sense. Like this album. So this album is basically flows like a diary from his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's kind of changing throughout, at least from what I could tell, like on the perspective of the speaker of a given song, like some things maybe are more from his perspective. Some might be from the perspective of his mother. And with that, the sort of styles and overall what's happening is changing. And I thought it was really cool. This is definitely one also that's sonically really well produced. Like it just sounds awesome. So definitely one I would revisit. By the way, his Grammy history, he won Best Rap Album in 2020 and in 2022, but this is the first time he's up for one of the like huge ones, like Album of the Year. He's up for six though this year.
Wow, that's cool.
So Album of the Year, Best Rap Album, Best Album Cover. I love that.
Oh, that's, I didn't even know
that. And it's
that
a trippy
a
cover with the mask and stuff.
Yeah.
Best Alternative Music Album.
Huh.
Which interestingly is Don't Tap the Glass, not this album.
Huh?
He actually released another album during this cycle. So like this tune, this that some people may have heard, this is Sugar on My Tongue. That's not from this album. That is from his next album, which was released in 2025.
So the album that he's nominated for is called Chromacopia.
Yeah.
And the song you just played is not from that album. And you can tell, like, sonically, it's so different. Than
way more like dance, electronica.
Right, and
kinda,
Chromacopia is very, very soulful and jazz.
A little and chill.
And, like, really strong, like, hard-hitting rap lyrics and really enunciated rap, which is a really interesting style of rap that Tyler falls under. And I don't know, I really liked how soft and gentle this album is. When you think of like rap albums, I expect it to be something else. And this was so soulful and so lyrical and so interesting in how it told a story. And I love albums that you listen to front to back and you get a whole narrative. And
sure.
We're losing that.
Definitely a concept album.
Yeah, it's
for
really
sure.
Cool.
It's an album's album. And some of the tunes are soulful and jazzy, but it's also kind of erratic. Like, so the singles, by the way, are Noid, Sticky, and Like Him. But this is what Noid sounds like. And this one, I would say, almost sounds like a hip-hop version of War Pigs. Do you know War Pigs by Black Sabbath?
Yes. Paranoia, no. Feel it in my aura. Living between cameras and recorders. These what can't afford ya, no.
Cool.
It is cool.
But then the next track, I don't remember exactly the order, but the next track might be more croony than that, right? More soulful. So
Right. Yeah,
I like this one. This is one of my favorites in this set. I would say, though, it's not going to win.
I want it to win.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite albums just because it was so unexpected for me. And I think a lot of the covers and like the album covers and the art surrounding this album was really interesting and very conceptual and like old school jazz soul type of aesthetic that really like goes back to this idea that it is an interpretation of like his mother's story And I really liked it. There were so many great collaborations on here. One song that I loved, Darling I, featuring Tizo, Touchdown.
But when that great hurt finally come, at least I felt something if I ain't find the one. Nobody could fulfill me like this music shit does. So I'll be lonely with these Grammys when it's all said and done. Come on.
Well, it's just so different than what you would expect from a rap album or Tyler, the Creator in general. And the collaboration was really, really strong here, that the rap section stood out and like modernized what was really like a soulful vibe. I just really liked that juxtaposition.
Nice.
Throughout this whole album, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy if he wins, but I would say the Vegas odds have him at plus 1400.
Wow. He'll win something.
Which is the fifth. Yeah, I think he will. He's up for six. He'll probably win one of those.
I mean, imagine if he won Best Rap and Best Alternative. I think he'll probably win Best Rap Album.
Well, there's some competition there, which we're going to talk about soon.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So that's fifth, by the way. That's ranked fifth out of the eight in terms of the odds. So, yeah, we'll see.
Not
crossing fingers.
Good.
Definitely one in the top few for me. Ready for the next one?
Yes.
Lady Gaga, Mayhem, released in 2025. She's got some previous Grammys.
Yes.
14, but never one of the big ones, like Song of the Year or Album of the Year, at least as far as my count.
Really?
She's been nominated for those, though. I think she might have got Best New Artist, but I don't remember. I didn't write that down. This year, she's up for seven, though. So this one, Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Best Dance Pop Recording, Best Pop Vocal Album, Best Pop Solo Performance, and Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album. Whatever that means. Who else is up for that? Bing Crosby? Like,
right.
It's weird.
I don't know. Is there a best tour?
Not that I've heard of.
I think,
but
like, iHeart or someone has, like, a best tour award.
Sure.
And the tour for Mayhem was so theatrical.
Yeah.
And
she'd be up against the Eras tour, though, and the Oasis tour. That would be a crazy category.
But like, people are saying, like, this tour should be nominated for a Tony Award because it was such like a stage spectacle.
Wow.
It was like so, so good. So I think that Lady Gaga is so theatrical, has such a like a cult following, not even a cult following, a very mainstream following.
Yeah, I don't think we need to talk background info on Lady Gaga. People have heard her.
Also, I hated it.
You hated it?
It was not it's not for me. I like Lady Gaga as like a concept. but I didn't like this album. So sorry. I wanted to. It was just too much for me. It's too dissonant. I couldn't get into it.
So that's interesting because, like, okay, I'm kind of two minds on it. I did not hate it. It's in the bottom half of the eight for me, but there are parts of it. And I think this is why it's so kind of acclaimed critically, is there are parts of it that are really looking back to the Fame Monster, like her early stuff where she was like this new artist on the scene that everybody was taking notice, is this kind of new take on a sort of Madonna vibe. And so the singles on this record are Disease, Abracadabra, plus also Die With a Smile is on this album,
even though
that was released before. That was actually up for Song of the Year or Record of the Year last year. And then Dead Dance was added later to the album. So, but this is what Abracadabra sounds like. And you're going to hear kind of an old school Gaga vibe. Abracadabra, amor, una, na. Abracadabra, orga, uga, da. Abracadabra, abra, una, na. In a tongue she said, therefore love the night.
It sounds so much
like Apata from later.
This is my 11-year-old's hip-hop song for her dance classes.
Oh, yeah. So, maybe that says something.
It says something.
I think, and this song hit number 13, but I'm gonna give some acclaims in a minute, but that song feels a bit like someone spoofing Lady Gaga.
I feel like she's so talented and she has such... Her voice, like, if you just strip down her voice, there's so much depth and grit, and like the tone is so lovely, and you don't hear that in Abracadabra. It's just a gimme. I feel like it's just a throwaway. Yeah. Here's a Lady Gaga song.
So for me,
a hot take.
For me, I definitely like the middle of this record. So there's several songs on this album that are very industrial influenced.
That's the ones I don't
like. 90s Nine Inch Nails almost vibing, and some songs I liked. The Dead Dance, Zombie Boy, Vanish Into You. It's like this middle. Mm-hmm. And here's Can't Stop the High, which is another one that I feel like captured this sort of industrial vibe that I actually really liked. Take me home. And it doesn't feel like it's forcing a certain, hey, it's a return to Gaga. Like, it has kind of mm-hmm. new things she doesn't often do, but it feels old school at the same time. There's some of those songs that I really liked, but some of it, yeah, didn't quite feel natural enough. So this is middle low for me in the eight, but
I just didn't like how, no, when you look at some of the other albums, they were more cohesive and told more of a story than this album did, and I just generally like that in albums, and this felt like all over the place to me. Like, you have Die With a Smile against some like industrial, like Nine Inch Nails type of things, and some old classic Lady Gaga. Felt like a cover of a Lady Gaga song in some cases. Like, it just seemed all the songs were good standalone, but when you listen to it as an album, it wasn't cohesive enough for me. And I think in this category, that's what I would be looking for, is like an album. It's not just a single song or how it's produced. It's like how the arc of the album. And this, just while great, and we'll give Gaga her flowers, like, she's awesome, this just didn't do it for me in this category.
Where do you think she is in terms of the ranking of Vegas?
Vegas,
odds?
I think she's probably pretty high because it's Lady Gaga.
So she's plus 200.
Yeah.
So pretty good. She's not more likely than The Field, but definitely up there. That's second of all the people. She's the second most likely, according to the Vegas odds right now, as of our recording, which is a few days before this episode comes out.
Does it change? Like, as we get closer,
I'm sure
to the
it could change. Like, if one, well, so it may not change. I don't know when they do the voting, but like, if something happened with one of these artists that made everybody hate them, I bet the odds would change.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's probably too late. The voting's already happened, but I believe the Vegas odds change, because I think the Vegas odds also change based on the money, right? So if, let's say, Tyler, the Creator's album starts out as an unlikely thing, and then tons of people love those odds. They go, wow, I'm going to make a ton of money because that album is super underrated. And people start betting millions of dollars on that album. The odds of that album winning will change. Like, the odds, the line will shift, I think, according to how much money's on
it. I'm obviously not a gambler.
Well, neither am I. Yeah, really? So I've heard. All right, shall we?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, next up is Clips, the album Let God Sort 'Em Out, which was released in 2025. So previous Grammys for Clips, there's really just one, a collab they did with Justin Timberlake in 2003, Like I Love You, and that was best rap / sung collaboration, and they didn't win. Grab a friend, see, I can have fun with two. Or me and you put on a stage show. And the mall kids ask how the chain glow. Point to her, they say, wow, it's the same glow.
Yeah, it's been 18 years since their last album, which is wild.
Because they broke up in like 2009, right? And these are two brothers, right?
So, and this is their reunion.
We're going to talk family bands in an upcoming episode. These guys are definitely someone to consider. They're two brothers from Virginia Beach. So they're kind of in the Pharrell and the Neptunes orbit. Yeah. And Pharrell actually produced this.
He sure did.
Though the Neptunes didn't. You can so hear that even on that song with
absolutely
the like flat two chord happening. This year, they're up for five, though. So you say like they broke up years ago and came back. Well, they came back with a vengeance in terms of critical acclaim. So they're up for Album of the Year, Best Rap Album, Best Rap Performance, which is the song Chains and Whips, Best Rap Song, The Birds Don't Sing, and Best Music Video, So Be It. And so it's all split, kind of.
It's true. And the thing with this album is they have so many guest spots and collaborators, like John Legend, Kendrick Lamar, Nas, The Dream. Tyler, the Creator, is also on this album on a
Pharrell,
track.
Yeah, Pharrell, of course, is in
Pharrell
there, too.
Is
yeah,
all over the place. So they definitely have clout in the industry and can pull big names. And that song, Whips and Chains, was a hit. Like, it was a great song. One of my favorite songs of the whole year. I just, like, loved it.
Bible said, nigga, you must be sick. All you talk about is just get rich. Choke my neck, nigga, and ice my bitch. Beat the system with chains and whips.
This is culturally inappropriate.
And I don't think they're going to win.
Yeah, you know, not to fast forward too much, because we can talk a little bit about overalls on this too, but yeah, the Vegas odds on this one are plus 1600.
Wow.
So they're tied for sixth, which is to say they are sixth and seventh. There's only one less likely album. I don't think they're going to win, but I also like, so I like this album. I think, I don't know that I get it yet. So like, I like a lot of the songs. Change and Whips is cool. So Be It. The singles, honestly, the singles they chose are all pretty hot songs. This is actually, this is Ace Trumpets, which I love this. This is culturally inappropriate sample that keeps looping because that comes back later in the album also. But here's Ace Trumpets.
Ballerinas doing pirouettes inside of my snow globe. Shopping sprees in Soho. You had to see it. Strippers shaking ass and watching the dough blow. Ace Trumpets and Rosemos.
Penny Alavaca. Panama Fishing Village visiting with Papa.
And you have to think, if it's been 18 years since their last album together, this is really generously 18 years of writing and 18 years of content that they've been waiting to put together.
Sure.
To,
I mean, they've been doing solo stuff and like there's a lot of guesting. Like, I feel like Pusha T in particular will show up on people's songs. But yeah, there's got to be a lot of like loading of the deck kind of behind
this,
right?
Like,
loading
of the gun, maybe. This is the best work of the last decade.
And it's cool. I just, there's a lot of lyrical references in there. This is less adventurous from an arrangement standpoint than the Tyler album, for example, even though we heard some interesting shifting there in that last song. I just don't know that without listening to it more, I get enough of the lyrical references. There's like Kanye disses in there. There's all sorts of stuff going on that is just, I'll say I've only heard this album once. So it's just a lot of it's over my head in terms of the, I think what it's trying to do thematically. So personally, that's not one of my favorites, but I liked what I heard. I don't think they're going to win, though. It's just this competition, especially in the hip-hop.
Yeah, I've heard this album referred to as coke rap.
Just, I mean, I think them in general, maybe that term would say. Like the drug dealing references and stuff like
that. Yeah, and I just think that I love to see the rap genre advancing past those stereotypes. Just generally.
Interesting. Yeah. No comment on that, because these are guys also from an earlier era, right?
Yeah.
This isn't an up-and-coming rapper. It's like, I feel like nobody's surprised or disappointed by a weed reference in a Snoop Dogg song. You know what I mean? Because it's a part of his brand.
And they, like
these
guys, want it. Yeah.
These guys, that's kind of a part of what they do. I'm not saying, like, they couldn't advance to different topics or whatever, but they are what they are. They represent what they represent. And I'm not a big aficionado of clips. I don't know their music really well.
Yeah.
Aside from just the stuff that, you know, was popular back in the day.
Most interested to hear about like their brotherhood and their family background and
I don't know
that.
Anything about all that.
Yeah.
And like what made them break up, etc.
So if you're a Clips aficionado, please write in and share some knowledge with us, because I think I'm for sure like ignorant to this genre, and I'd like not to be.
Yeah, cool. Speaking of this genre, Kendrick Lamar GNX is up. This is 2024.
Sure.
He's got a lot of Grammys.
Yes.
Previously. So 22 total awards, which is third by a rapper all time. So could you guess other rappers? You don't have to give the order or whatever. If he has 22 total awards, who else is in the top five for total awards by a rapper?
Jay-Z. Snoop. Probably Tupac. Am I close?
You got one. So number one is Jay-Z.
Okay.
So he's got 25.
Yeah.
Kanye, 24.
Oh, yeah. I always like block out Kanye.
Yeah,
sorry.
Kanye doesn't exist for some people, so it's hard to count.
I just
some
like
of those.
It's self-preservation.
Kendrick is three with number 22. Mm-hmm. Eminem, 15.
Okay, right.
And then the one that surprises me is Pharrell with 13.
Oh.
And I think I would have to look, but
Is that his producing album, Grammys,
right,
too?
It might be that, or it might be some songs that are very much him, not as a rapper, because he's such a multifaceted performer.
Yeah, when I think of rappers, I don't think of Pharrell.
Right, he is, though, and he's
sure,
a good rapper.
I bet he is.
But he's also a singer and a producer, so it's kind of like, whereas when you see 25 Jay-Z Grammys, you can probably rest assured that a lot of them are hip-hop. Right. Yeah. And Pharrell, maybe not. A lot of it might be pop.
Right.
Also, I'll note that from a career trajectory, even just age-wise, I think Kendrick's gonna pass Jay-Z.
How old is he now? Do we know? Is it known?
He's younger than us.
What?
Yeah, he's a millennial. He's a high millennial, I think.
A high millennial.
He's 38.
Okay.
He's 38, and Jay-Z's got to be in his 50s.
For sure.
Eminem, same. Kanye's, I think, probably around our age. Right.
Ugh,
and
imagine.
Then Pharrell, maybe the same age as him. But I just feel like Kendrick might have another decade more. I'm not saying Jay-Z doesn't have another decade of career, but Kendrick might have a decade past whatever Jay-Z's career is. Yeah. Right. Just based on actuarial tables and math, basically.
Yeah, I'm not going to say Kendrick Lamar's my first choice of music I would listen to on my own accord. Like, and that's not despite anything. It's just not what I would usually go to. But I really appreciate Kendrick Lamar and his like literary ability. I like that he takes poetry classes to try to develop his craft. I think that that's really cool.
Huh, I didn't know that.
He's like a real academic. He's a poet. Sure. So I like
him. I mean, he won the Pulitzer.
Right.
You know,
and it's not by accident, right?
Yeah.
Like he has chops, like academic chops that I think is often overlooked because of maybe stereotypes people have against the genre or against him. But he's very, very intelligent and really eager to advance the craft of rap as poetry. And I just generally think that that's really, really cool and healthy. I also know that Barack Obama really likes Kendrick Lamar. So I really like Kendrick Lamar. Sorry.
So last year he like cleaned up at the Grammys, right?
Yes.
He won Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Best Rap Performance, Best Rap Song, and Best Music Video, all for Not Like Us. That's how much the critics hate Drake. This year, I forgot to write them all down, but he's up for 9. So I think he's up for more than any of these other artists. I am a fan of Kendrick Lamar. I was going to school in South LA when he came up.
Okay.
And that's where he's from. He's from
that's
like
cool.
Compton area. And so he was just kind of everywhere. Those first two albums were very much like catnip for millennial grad student in music. Hip hop, right? There's something about how smart everything was from an arrangement perspective. The songs are so cool. This is his 5th album to hit number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100.
That's GNX. Wild, huh?
Named after his Buick Grand National Experimental. Mm-hmm. There are no Drake feud songs on this record, though. So I think
he's over it.
He won, right?
Yeah, he won.
Have you heard of Drake since then?
Not anywhere.
Yeah. So
of note,
is he still around? I don't know. So singles on this one, we got Squabble Up, which hit number 1.
Mm-hmm.
TV Off hit number 2. Big Disappointment. Poor Peekaboo only hit number 13. And you mentioned 90s throwback. Luther, a collab with SZA, hit number 1. This is what that sounds
it's
like.
It's so good.
And I love this song.
If it was up to me, I wouldn't give it nobody no sympathy. I'll take away the pain, I'll give you everything. I just wanna see when you wanna see.
If this world were mad.
Their voices sound so good together, like in a way that's unexpected. And just like they just like find each other in like this lock and key situation in my ear.
He has a very abrasive delivery in a lot of cases. But yeah, he sounds great with her. That song is like it's a Kendrick ballad and it's super hot. It's great. TV Off is a banger, though. It's kind of like a sequel to Not Like Us musically to me. The other stuff I loved on this. So I like this album a lot.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite of the ones. And I think this is also, fast forward, Vegas odds have this at plus 100, which is even money.
Even
you bet 100, you get 100. That's the first place, most likely. And I can't help but feel lame to say I agree and I kind of think it will win. But if it does win, maybe we need to stop telling Kendrick Lamar how awesome he is because he's got the Pulitzer. He gets it. Maybe he can just like, maybe he should make a crappy album or something.
Right.
Or a great album and everybody can just be like, that's okay.
Well, he's kind of becoming like he's very talented on his own, but now it's other talented people are like, he's magnetizing them towards him. Like he's got Pharrell producing for him. He's got or not Pharrell, he's good. Jack Antonoff
in there, yeah.
So
taking a break from Tay-Tay for a minute.
Taking a break from Sabrina this year.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, right? he's popping up a few times today.
Yeah, well, he's a great producer. So now it's like, we know Kendrick's good. The Pulitzer has clout, right?
Yeah.
So he's attracting all these top producers to work with him too, and that's only making his music stronger when it already was very, very strong, because he has just raw talent and he works at his craft, which
totally
is admirable.
So what I liked about this album also in particular is there's a lot of things that seem referential to the music industry and music history even. So like, here's a song, Reincarnated, which is like this awesome mix of aggressive vocals with a beautiful backing instrumentation that's making all these references to Black music history and stuff like that, that it kind of just keeps going with all sorts of changes in perspective and stuff like that.
Another life replaced me as a Black woman in the chitlin' circuit. Seductive vocalist as the promoter hit the curtains. My voice was angelic, straight from heaven. The crowd sobbed. A musical genius, what the articles emphasized. Had everything I wanted, but I couldn't escape addiction. Heroin needles had me in fetal position, restricted. Turned on my family, I went wherever cameras be. Cocaine.
And there's other tunes like that, like Gloria, I think, is another one where they're referencing the music industry and music, almost music history at a level. And there's a song by the Dodgers, or at least referencing it, which kind of hurts, you know, come on, man, come on.
Still sore.
But yeah, so I like this album. I don't know where you're at with it. This is probably my favorite. And so when you mention Tyler maybe winning best rap, I'm like, I don't know.
You think it's going to be hard to beat this. Yeah,
This could sweep.
Yeah.
Unless people are over it. Unless, you know how people around Tortured Poets were kind of like, okay, we get it, Taylor.
Like,
we're kind of mad at you now. Like,
yeah.
That could eventually happen with Kendrick. I hope not, but.
Well, the thing about Tortured Poets versus this album, which is a weird comparison, is Tortured Poets was very indulgent, very masturbatory, and very like writing focused. And it was just a brain dump. So that's why a lot of people that aren't like true Taylor Swift fans, I think, were like, we're over it. Like,
too much.
It's
too
much. But this still has like thoughtful commentary. I think people are happy that he's moved on from this Drake feud, like, and we're getting more information from him. So do I think it's going to win? Maybe. I don't really want it to. There's other albums that I'd prefer to see elevated. But this was a very good album and Kendrick's very, very, very good. And like, I'm ready for someone else.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
That's where I'm at.
So we'll see. Next up is Randomly Determined. Swag from 2025 by Justin Bieber. Now, previous Grammys for Houston, he's won twice. Where Are You Now in 2016 won Best Dance Electronic Recording, and 10,000 Hours in 2021 with Dan and Shay won Best Country Duo Group Performance. Do you know this song?
Can you play it?
I do not know this song.
I bet you if I heard it, I'd know.
When you close your eyes, tell me what dreaming, everything I want to know it all. I'd spend 10,000 hours and 10,000 more. Oh, if that's what it takes to learn that sweetheart of yours.
I effing love Justin Bieber. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry if it's tacky. And
could that song be any more overproduced,
it's
though?
Like,
there's something about it.
I don't know, man. Something about his voice. Like, it's comforting. It's so weird. I have, like, such an emotional reaction to Justin Bieber's voice. It might be Bieber fever. Like, maybe I caught Bieber fever, but...
Clinical, yeah.
It's probably subclinical.
Subclinical, okay.
A student in my class has Bieber fever, like, hard. And in fact, I'll give a shout out to Tatum. Thank you, Tatum. Because in class yesterday, I said, hey, I'm recording a Grammy episode. I need content about this Justin Bieber album. What do you think? I was like, give me a hot 30 seconds, a tight 30 seconds. They had a lot of comments that, like, it wasn't his best album, but it was a good album. And she's worried about him. This is the big takeaway.
Okay.
She's like worried about Bieber.
As a like as a person, like
as a person.
His health or whatever.
His health, yes.
Yikes. Well, I don't want to speak ill of the struggles, but
yeah.
I have some thoughts about this. To be clear, I only listened to Swag. He released later this year Swag 2.
Yeah.
Which adds, they did this thing. Imagine Dragons did this a while back where they have an album called Mercury Act 1, and then they added a disc two, like 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what Taylor did with Tortured Poets, except not the day after, like months later. So he did Swag 2. And Swag 2 was released 5 days after the deadline for Grammy consideration, and it has mixed reviews, so I'm not listening to it. Did you listen to the full double disc?
I didn't. I wonder if he did that on purpose, knowing Swag 1 was stronger. So he put out Swag 2 after the Grammy deadline to like beat the system somehow.
So he gets in the voting like before people get mad at him for the mediocre songs.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
I mean, he's got a smart team around him.
So
like, that's not an accident.
Singles on this record: Daisies, First Place, Things You Do, 405. Mm-hmm. What I like is the sort of more intimate songs. He has these little short, sort of cell phone sounding recordings throughout. Glory, Voice Memo, Zuma House, and Daisies has some of that intimacy. This is what that sounds like.
Way you got me all in my head. Think I'd rather you in my bed. Whatever it is, you know I can take it. I'm counting the days, how many days till I can see you again. Blowing kisses like will you catch them at night? Cupid with arrows.
I love that song. I really do.
It doesn't have the cell phone recording quality like a few of them, but it has the kind of more stripped down band playing soul kind of thing. So you like this record?
I like it. There were some songs I liked more than others. It was really introspective for me and lyrics were really interesting and playful, which I enjoyed. I like how even though his public persona is seeming really, really gritty, the tone of his voice still remains like very purely Bieber and clean and crisp, which is like
he does sound like himself,
right? And that like comforts me that like maybe he is okay, because the tonally it sounds like he's okay. And even there's the song Yukon that he like pitch shifts his, I know those terms now thanks to you, he pitch shifts up a little bit so it sounds like it's a younger Bieber singing, and then he like is in his adult voice singing like the chorus or other like background harmonies.
I don't remember that, but I'll find it and put up a clip.
You like to go slow, but we could go faster. Tell me the password. Slide city, you know what that means. I'm coming up on you quickly. I bring nice things.
It's just really nostalgic and makes me think of the challenges Justin Bieber's gone through in his career. He's only like about 30 years old. He's a baby still. He's not old. And he's lived like a really intense life.
There's no way he's only 30 years old.
He only recently entered his 30s.
Recently from a geologic time scale, like in the last 10,000 years?
No, he's young.
Okay. 31. Wow, he is young.
Right. He had his first hit when he was our kids' age.
But that was like I thought that was in the aughts or something. And so I figured, but yeah, okay.
Right. So he's still like, when you think about, you know, Kendrick having lots of room to grow in his career. I mean, Bieber's got another 30 years left in a career if he
can keep it together. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope he does.
I hope he does too. Cause he is like, say what you want. And I know it's so poppy. Like this music is so like sugary sweet in some cases, but it's good. And he is talented. And I feel a lot of empathy for his life experiences because he was swept into fame at a very, very young age. And that developmentally is not appropriate.
It's tricky. Yeah.
Yes.
Causes
and I
some
think
challenges.
This song Yukon I really resonated with on this album because it's like I'm reading too much into it, but it feels like he's trying to heal his inner child a little bit with this album. And I think that's healthy. Generally, another great song on this album is All I Can Take is one of my favorite songs here. I just thought it was a cool song. I really enjoyed it. It was one of my favorites on this whole album.
So I'm not a hater. I like some of his songs.
Yeah.
This is the first album of his I've listened to, though, like album.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but can I talk some smack?
Yeah, of course.
My first impression of some of this music is like, sorry, Justin, but I'm imagining he heard some intimate like 1960s soul, like he heard Sitting by the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding or something with slinky electric guitar, like the stuff played by Steve Cropper on some of those records. And then he asked someone who it was, and what they handed him was Ed Sheeran's album, the one that has Thinking Out Loud on it.
OK.
And so it feels like he's like echoing an echo in a way that like I kind of sometimes that can be cool. But there's something about it that feels a little like, I don't want to say derivative, but
there's not
playing on
a
nostalgia that isn't a real nostalgia. There's something about it that doesn't quite work. Although I like that song Daisies. Like I like some of these tunes. And look, credit to Mick Gee, who's the producer on most of this and who plays the guitar. he does do a kind of Steve Cropper kind of awesome, slinky soul Stax record kind of thing. But honestly, they lost me. Later in the album, there's this whole bit where the comedian Drewski talks about how black Justin sounds.
Mm.
And I found that whole bit, and it happens a few times. There's like references, like this conversation is recorded and there's excerpts of it happening. I found it so insufferable. Like there's one point when he's literally like, your skin is white, but your soul is black. And Justin Bieber literally says thank you to that. And I want to be like, screw you, Justin. That's right. Like, it's like, okay, do you know who Tim Armstrong is? The dude from Rancid, who's also like a producer.
Yep.
This is like if I had the Slackademics record that's about to come out had a clip of him saying, hey, Mark, you're so punk. And I'm go, oh, yeah, Tim, why? And he's like, yeah, you sound like you're a homeless kid who on Hollywood Boulevard in 1984. And I literally was like, thanks. Tim. Love it. I'm like, Justin, come on.
Yeah, you're like, you're Canadian, bro.
You are a teen star from Canada. You do not need to play. You can have a fun conversation with a comedian where he talks about how black you are and have that guy, have Drewski put it in his stand-up routine.
Right.
You putting it on your album is like me saying my kid thinks I'm cool and having it as a bumper sticker or something. It's so, it's like halfway through the record and it just turned me off. I'm sorry. I cannot be a...
I've never seen you this agitated.
It feels like he self-sabotaged his cool factor by doing that.
Right. Like you don't have to name it.
You don't do an anonymous donation and then call everybody telling you you did it. This will not win. This should not win, in my opinion, because of that crap. But it's actually, the Vegas odds have it at 8th. So it's plus 2,200. So if you really think it's going to win, put a sweet $100 on it and you're going to win $2,200.
I don't think it's going to win. I'd be shocked if he even shows up.
Oh, wow.
I think that
that's sad.
Yeah. I don't think Justin Bieber's like, I think his music's great, but his voice is so good that even at his worst, you can produce it to sound good. That's what I think. Like, even at his worst...
Well, you don't need to. His voice is good.
His voice is good, but you can,
the
like...
The cell phone recordings are cool. They're my favorite part of the album. You don't need to produce it to sound good.
And, like, I think that just goes to show what a talent Justin Bieber is, that even when, like, you look at some of the stuff that the media shows us, which I know isn't real and not a whole picture, that's happening in his life... It seems like that there's something up with Justin Bieber in a way that doesn't seem healthy, and the music's still good. So I really want him to get to a place that he is balanced and regulated and processed through his trauma, processed through any substance issues, and just can like be stripped down and pure, because he is he's a phenom. He's such a pure talent, and I'm worried about him.
Well, maybe you can talk me into doing a Bieber episode in the future. I don't know. You'd have to
find
a song
unpack.
That I would find, I mean, something I would like.
Yeah.
But Sabrina Carpenter, Man's Best Friend 2025. We talked a lot about the Brina last year, because that was kind of my first significant exposure to
and
her.
And you were like, she's great.
And you were like, don't like her.
I was like, listen to her 2 million more times.
Right. So... Just to refer to the history here, previous Grammys, she did win 2. Espresso won Best Pop Solo Performance, and Short and Sweet, last year's record, which was nominated for Album of the Year, did win Best Pop Vocal Album. This year, she's up for 6. This one, Record of the Year for Manchild, Song of the Year, Best Pop Solo Performance, Best Music Video, Best Pop Vocal Album, and that's 6. What do you got?
I'm going to blow your mind. I love this album.
You liked it because you were not a fan of Short and Sweet. You were not a fan of her overall vibe.
I wasn't.
As the mother of a daughter.
Now my daughter's getting older and she's still singing along with these songs, which I still don't love. Like, there are some songs that are so tongue in cheek and so full of innuendo. And now I think my daughter is starting to understand the innuendo, which isn't great. But I just thought the production was different on this album. I mean, Jack Antonoff produced it, and everything he touches is gold to me.
And Jack Ryan also, some of it.
Right, also, we have an Amy Allen on the production team writing and producing.
Yep.
So I thought that the writing on this was a little bit more subtle, maybe, in some cases, than this, like, obtuse sexuality that we saw in Short and Sweet. Not on all the songs, but on some of them.
I mean, look, there's a few singles on this. Manchild, Tears.
Mm-hmm.
When Did You Get Hot? But Tears, which hit number 3, this one, it's not even innuendo. It's like direct.
I get wet for you. Be responsible
There's a lot about this. This is my least favorite song on the album.
Interesting. It feels just like because... it's in conversation with Taylor, though. The innuendos mixed with the sort of trad wife stuff with that we talked about with Taylor Swift's new album. And this is like she wants a trad husband who will like do the dishes and then she's going to have sex with him.
Literally going to do the bare minimum of being a good roommate. And then she'll, that turns her on. And I think that that's like a sad benchmark to set. Like, you do the dishes and I'll put out. I'm sorry for being so crass and cavalier here in mixed company. But it's like, we should expect more of men than just like bare minimum roommate stuff, right? And I do think it's funny that on the radio, they bleep out a lot, like tears run down my bleep. Like they,
it just doesn't say anything.
They censor it in a way that is really funny. It is pretty gross to have your 11-year-old sing this song. It's pretty awkward when
tears run down my thighs
when
or whatever.
She wants to sing it at voice lessons with her male voice teacher. And he comes and talks to you after and says, I don't feel comfortable.
I get wet at the thought of you having your 11-year-old say that. Yeah.
It's like, fair. I don't think it's the best song on the album. I do think it's like the most sensational, which maybe this album she feels like she still needs. My favorite song on this album is When Did You Get Hot. I think the song is just great. It's like fundamentally a great song.
When did you get hot? All of a sudden I could look you up and down all day. When did you get hot? I think I would remember if you had that face. I did a double take, triple take, take me to naked, twist up back at your place. Baby, baby,
I would say that one, and the biggest hit, I think, by the charts is Manchild, which hit number one.
Maybe it's useless, but there's a cuter word for it. I know.
Manchild, why you always come running on me?
It's just like bubblegummy pop in a way that isn't irritating to me, though I have to say, like, her voice, I like this album, but halfway through, I'm kind of like, I don't know. It kind of gets on my, not on my nerves, but like it's a little bit much.
Well, she puts like a twang on for this album more than some others.
Interesting.
But, and I think that that's how she's going to begin to rebrand herself. Like, she's partnering with Dolly Parton. She did a cover with Dolly Parton of this song that they sang it together. And you really do hear Sabrina Carpenter as like a, she has the same tone as a Dolly Parton, but just younger and like with a little bit more lilt in her voice.
Interesting.
So I think that she is positioning herself to like take that place in like country, pop, punk, like arena. I like the song Manchild because it does show off like she is a good vocalist. Like it's can't be an easy song to sing. It like switches octaves. The range is really broad in that song. And I really appreciate that. And that's what I wasn't getting in some of her previous albums. Short and Sweet just seems so tongue-in-cheek and so like kitschy that I was like, I just want to hear her sing because she's a good singer. And I felt like she was burying her vocal talent in innuendo. And she still has quite a bit of innuendo here. Like, the song House Tour is hilarious and like lyrically a good song. And it shows off her vocal strength too. When Did You Get Hot has such great runs in it that she's very like cheeky about. So I did enjoy this album. I think it's going to win. I do.
You
I think you can't stop Sabrina Carpenter.
Wow. So the odds have her at fourth plus 650. So you stand to win a little money if you make that bet. For me, this one's right in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know about fourth or fifth or something like that. I like this music. It's the quirkiness of it is like half good and half irritating. So like, I don't know. I think I liked Short and Sweet a little more than you did and also a little more than this. But that was also sort of a discovery thing for me. Like, it was funny to me to hear her innuendos before having talked to you about how like socially damaging it is or whatever. Like, so it was just like, wow, did she just say that? I had that experience while listening to that. Whereas now I'm expecting it.
And I also think that like the first, like the male gaze piece is kind of striking for Sabrina Carpenter when you're first exposed to her, because she is very beautiful and she knows it and she owns her sexuality. And that's something that can be very enticing to a male audience. And I think that you fell for it.
I just like listened to the record. Didn't even like, I'm
telling
you.
You never had seen a picture of Sabrina Carpenter?
I didn't know who she was. I didn't know
she
was like a Disney. Now I've seen the cover of this album. I've seen that album cover and it's like, oh, wow. Yeah, she's doing something there.
She's doing something.
But no, I didn't. That was all news to me when we were talking about it last time. That she was like hypersexualized.
She's selling records and she's winning Grammys.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing.
Yeah, that's what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Debí Tirar Más Fotos, 2025, Bad Bunny.
Red Boon Knee.
So that's, I should have taken more photos, by the way, is what that means. So some previous Grammys under his belt. He's won three, but none of the big ones, like, you know, like this, for example. Mm-hmm. In 2023, Un Verano Sin Ti was the first Spanish language album nominated for Album of the Year. But Harry Styles won that year. So
I love Harry Styles.
He did not. This was a pretty big hit from that mm-hmm. record. This is Moscow Mule, hit number 4 in the U.S. So where are you at with reggaeton?
I like it. I like Bad Bunny. I think that I'm not as familiar with his music as I am with him as an individual, which is weird.
Well, we're coming up on him doing the Super Bowl which, and that's going to be really a middle finger at certain people in a lot of ways.
I don't know. People are like, I was in a room with people and they were like, oh, I can't believe Bad Bunny is playing the Super Bowl. Like, we need an American singer. I'm like, he's Puerto Rican. It's like America.
Talk to different people.
Maybe.
So, but it is controversial. I have to say, the NFL, props to the NFL for doing that, because it is, if we were all on the edge of our seats wondering if Kendrick Lamar was going to play Not Like Us or directly reference the Drake thing at last year's Super Bowl, this time I'm like, is he going to call out Donald Trump in the middle of the show? Because he might, and he probably won't, because there's a lot of money probably. Like, they may literally have it in his contract, like, you can't or we won't pay you. But honestly, I wouldn't put it past him.
But he's just great. Like, there's a meme that's going around. Like, imagine it's him doing the carpool karaoke with James Corden. He's talking about how this Ariana Grande song was how he like learned how to speak English, and he's having this like really profound moment, and then halfway through you get to like the chorus of that song, he just stops and like busts out the chorus, and it's such like a, he's just so funny, he's just so likable and funny when he's on SNL. He's so good. He was in the newest Happy Gilmore movie, Happy Gilmore 2. He had like a,
did not
a,
see that,
it was so good. And he had a really funny part. He's a funny actor and just a likable persona. So I think if you hate Bad Bunny, like, you're doing it wrong. The music's good. He's a good guy. I don't think he's gonna win the Grammy, but I like want to see him at the Grammys and having a good time, because he like lightens my heart to see him have fun.
So he's up for 6 this year.
That's
best
awesome.
Musica Urbana album. Album, I guess.
Album.
This album of the year, best album cover. Again, I love that one. Record of the year, which would be for DTMF, or I guess you should say DTMFA.
Okay.
Song of the Year also for that one. Best Global Musical Performance also. This is his 7th album, which is an homage to Puerto Rico. So, and that's kind of what, not what I like about this, but there's some amazing moments because of that. There's like these references to salsa, bomba, plena, jibaro, these styles. And I like reggaeton, but I'm almost like more influenced by it than I am. There's something about the cyclical nature of the way the beats are constructed, which I know in a lot of ways is just copy pasting in a DAW from like somebody. When we go back to the early 2000s, when this first got popular, it was like really lazy arrangement that somehow creates these weird cycles that like tickles my minimalist composer brain. And the sort of that kind of dembo rhythm, just, I really love. I don't listen to a lot of reggaeton. I just don't.
No, me either.
But I like it. This I actually really liked, though, because what's so cool about it, and the singles on this, Pitorro de Coco, Valle Inolvidable, which I'll play a little bit, DTMF, AU El Club, there's a lot of singles here. Not all of them, but a lot of them are weaving in the reggaeton with more traditional Puerto Rican styles. So, like, the way the album opens, which I don't have a clip of, Nueva Yol, just, like, is salsa, and then this electronic beat just slams in. And there's just cool guest spots on this. I feel like Bad Bunny's vocals himself sound good now.
Yeah.
I feel like when he was first coming up, look, I don't know really enough about the style to critique, but his voice had kind of almost a cartoony, like when we talked about Shaggy, it was almost like that. Like, it was kind of doing
like a
voice.
Yeah.
And now sometimes you hear him singing and his delivery is really nice. Here's an example. This is Baile Inolvidable. And what's so cool about this is it's basically like a salsa backing rhythm with a reggaeton vocal and then reggaeton bass coming in and out too. And it's just really cool.
Yeah, this sounds, his voice sounds more mature here in this album than some of his earlier albums.
But it doesn't sound like a salsa vocal would, right? He's still coming at it as a reggaeton and hip hop.
In the earlier albums, were they in English or Spanish?
It's almost all Spanish.
Yeah, because I was wondering if, I'm not really familiar, but
I don't know much English stuff at all that he's done.
Yeah, because I was wondering if like the tone of it was just his English accent.
No. He's virtually always in Spanish, at least anything I've heard. But yeah, like I said, there's Plena in there, Jibaro, and he's got artists guesting that are actually like bands playing these styles. It's not just sampling. Mm. But then there's like this crazy kick drum that'll slam in the middle of it, and then he'll do a reggaeton verse in the middle. And so that stuff is what I really nerded out on when listening to this. It's especially kind of on the ends of the album. The beginning and the ending are like that. And then the middle is more straightforward, just sort of reggaeton or even house. There's like house music here. So this might be my second favorite record bunch. It seems like a long shot to me. Yeah. It's plus 300, though, so it's ranked third in the Vegas odds.
Are the Grammys after the Super Bowl?
The Grammys are before the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Grammys are in about 2 weeks. NFL playoffs will still be going on at that point.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
We'll see, but wow, yeah, if he wins the Grammy for Album of the Year and then does it, yeah.
Like, that's like a big, I mean, I think that I always go back to how much of the Grammys is a machine, right? Like how much is just like industry hype, and it would make sense. I bet you the Super Bowl wants him to win the Grammy because then he'll get more viewership for the Super Bowl.
Maybe. Yeah.
Right. So like
people that would otherwise maybe watch the Puppy Bowl or whatever during that 30 minutes will tune in to see him, you know,
because he's like, because
they've heard of him now and whatever. Yeah.
Maybe
I don't know.
He says something controversial in his acceptance speech and that like increases viewership for the Super Bowl.
Says something nasty about the New England Patriots or the...
who are clearly going to go to the Super Bowl, the guys. Like, can you believe that?
We don't know yet what's going on. We're recording this right before this week's games. We're still in
Patriots,
the
Patriots, it's still
divisional
like found
round.
Money at this point.
Yeah, crazy.
With the team this year. Go on.
One more. Leon Thomas.
The clear frontrunner.
2024. So a newbie on the scene, relatively speaking. So he did win one Grammy, though. But it was for a SZA song. So this SZA song from 2024, Snooze. He is a co-writer and a producer. And I found a clip of him playing that acoustic.
Oh, cool.
And this is just what he sounds like outside of a pop album context.
I can't lose when I'm with you. How can I snooze and miss the moment? You just so important. Nobody like you do. Can't lose.
I love that song. I like his version better. It's the first time I'm hearing it.
So do you know Leon Thomas for this?
I don't. I didn't even know he worked on that SZA song, but I love that song. I think it's beautiful. It's one of my favorite songs of theirs, of SZA's. I don't know Leon Thomas. I liked this album. It was really cohesive. It was really confident. It's like jazz and soul and rock and had a lot of wide-ranging influences and one of my favorites, but I had no idea. I was like, who is this guy? I just liked the music. What do you think?
I liked it too. I doubt this will win.
Yeah.
I did like this album a lot, but I think some of that might be just because this style of music, I like the combination of stuff, the R&B. It almost sounded PBR&B. Remember that term from like 10, 50? PBR,
like
hipster
R&B.
It sounded like early The Weeknd or like Frank Ocean kind of
I like
chill
that.
R&B. Yeah, some neo soul in there. I really liked it. I think Is this the third child star we have in the mix? Right, because Sabrina Carpenter, Justin Bieber, because he was a Broadway guy. He was in The Lion King, The Color Purple as a child, right? Because he's pretty young.
Am I like in love with Leon Thomas?
You should check it out. So his singles on this, Far-Fetched, Rather Be Alone, Yes It Is, and This Is Mutt, which hit number 6. And this is a pretty cool song.
She said, take your time, what's the rush? I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. She said, take your time, what's the rush? I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. I can smoke already.
Like, this album was long, too, compared to some of the others.
I'm trying to remember. I have to say, like, you were hating on Short and Sweet before.
Right.
It was Short and Sweet because last year there were like 80-minute album after 80-minute album and double albums. Yeah. I don't remember how long this one
14
is.
14 tracks.
Okay.
Which is...
Well, it's all about how long the tracks are, right?
I know.
The Andre 3000 album had like 7 tracks and they were like 15 minutes long.
They all sounded kind of the same.
Again, like sometimes it feels like if you're a hip-hop artist and you want to pander to Mark Popany, which you should not try to do, it's by doing stuff like this. Like, I'm gonna play How Fast, which is the album opener, and just the way the arrangement unfolds and goes from this sort of ambient cool sound to something much more explosive is just so cool. I don't know, something so cool about the way that album starts. And yeah, the singles are all really cool. Dancing with Demons was cool. Vibes Don't Lie. This one is in the middle, I think, for me, like dead middle. This is plus 1600 on the Vegas odds. So this is the other one tied for sixth. So this one tied with Clips. All right. So the Vegas front runners are Kendrick Lamar, then Gaga, then Bad Bunny, then Sabrina Carpenter, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
So who are your front runners versus who you actually think is going to win versus who you want to win?
I really liked the Tyler album. I really liked this album. I don't think either of them are going to come close. I think it's probably going to be Kendrick or Lady Gaga. Sabrina, I think, will win pop or like other or song or maybe.
I thought you were about to put money on Sabrina. Weren't you going to?
I like it a lot. And I think like the machine wants her to win, but I think she's going to win other places. I don't think she's going to go home like empty handed from the awards. But I think that it would be awesome if Bad Bunny won.
So for me, front runners are Kendrick and Bad Bunny and then probably Tyler and Leon and then Sabrina, Clips, Gaga. The way at the bottom is Bieber. Like I have Gaga in the lower piece
I mean,
for me.
If you think who like I would rank, Gaga would be low, but I do think that she has a chance to win. I would like to see Bad Bunny win. I think that that would be an interesting political narrative that the Grammys could be a part of.
Yeah, I think Kendrick will probably win, but Bad Bunny is kind of a sleeper, sneaky, could actually win. I don't think Gaga or Sabrina are going to get it.
No.
I don't feel willing to put real money on it, but we could do a very low stakes bet, like maybe only like $10,000 or something.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
tune in next time. Let us know, Lorehounds, if I've had to sell my basement studio.
I mean,
so we can't do this.
Teaching is rewarding, but not like financially.
Yeah. So remember, we have Song of the Year versus Record of the Year. Do you remember what Song of the Year awards and what Record of the Year awards? Because we're going to talk about those really quickly. Luckily, it can be quick because we've talked about most of these artists already.
Do I remember like what the difference
is? What's the difference? We're going to first start about Song of the Year, then we're going to talk about Record of the Year.
Well, Song of the Year... Well, okay. Record of the Year is about like more about production and Song of the Year is more about writing.
Yes.
Is that right?
So the Record of the Year is also about the performance, right? So think about that going to like the artist and the producer jointly, whereas Song of the Year will go to just the songwriter, which in this case...
Is a lot of
includes the artist,
yes,
but also might include a bunch of other people or one other person. That's not always true, right? The Song of the Year could go to a completely unrelated person, right? So, Abracadabra by Gaga, which is written by Gaga, Henry Walter, and Andrew Watt. All right, already talked about that one. I don't think either of us is really gunning for that one to win. Next, Dochi, Anxiety, mm-hmm. which is a very cool use of a Gautier sample.
Mm-hmm. Anxiety.
Love that song because I've recently learned that I'm very good at determining form in music and songs. Okay. And I love the form of that song. I like the little rap section. I think it's really well written. I think it's the most well written song out of anything on this list. And that's why I think it should win Song of the Year, because that's what
spoiler.
It's about.
Spoiler.
That's her.
So I will also point out, Jayla Hickman, which is Dochi, mm-hmm. wrote this song, and she's the only credited songwriter. Yeah, and that is the only song on this list that has one credited songwriter. The rest of them are collaborations, often some of them comically long lists of people.
Right.
Which brings us, speaking of which, to APT, APT, I don't know how to say this, by Rosé mm-hmm. and Bruno Mars, which I have to play just for the reference. It sounds a lot like that little bit of Abracadabra also.
Sleep tomorrow, but tonight go crazy. All you gotta do is just meet me at the
What do you think of this song? I'm sure you've heard it a million
times.
I've
heard it a million times. I like the collaboration. I generally like Bruno Mars, but I'm over the song. I don't think it's like...
It's a little bit much.
It's like, it's not like well written. Like, I don't know.
It is a little striking for it to be up for Song of the Year. Right, as like, a songwriting exercise. I don't hate the song. It's just a lot. And by the way, it is a comically long list of collaborators. The songwriters, Amy Allen, Christopher Brody Brown, Roje Shahayed, Omer Fedi, Philip Lawrence, Bruno Mars, Chase Young Park, Theron Thomas, and Henry Walter. So Rosé, not one of the songwriters, interestingly enough.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that one's going to win, right?
I don't like it, but I will say my phone is listening to us talk because it just sent me a notification to buy Bruno Mars tickets.
Buy Bruno Mars tickets.
Which maybe I don't love. Another reason I don't love it.
Meet me at the Bruno Mars concert. Okay, DTMF, Bad Bunny. We didn't actually queue up that song, but mm-hmm. that's one of the songs off his record, DTMF. This one's written by Marco Daniel Borrero, Scott Dittrich, Benjamin Falik, Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio, Hugo René Sancion Sanabria, Tyler Spry, and Roberto Jose Rosado Torres. So, pretty cool song, good record. I don't know. I'd be surprised if this won Song of the Year.
Same.
But it's good. All right. Golden by Hunter X, EJAE. Oh. How do I say that? EJ, Audrey Nuna, and Rei Ami. This, of course, being the song from K-pop Demon Hunters.
I've heard that song a million times, and unlike Apata or some of the other songs on this list, I'm never tired of it. Even when you just played it, I definitely still got goosebumps listening to it. Like, there's
the sequence.
There's we can overcome. And I think that it was just, it's from like a kid's movie. Oh, cool. But it's a really good song standalone. And I think it surprised everyone that Golden's like on the radio. Like, I don't know how to say it. I'll just say I was at like a queer dance club this summer.
Okay.
And this song came on and I thought it was so funny because I listened to it like with my kid when we watched K-pop Demon Hunters, and the club exploded and like everyone was so like singing along and dancing along. And I was like, this song is bringing people together.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Credit goes to EJAE, Park Hong Jun, Jung Gu Dwak, Yuhan Lee, Hidong Nam, Jung Hoon Seo, and Mark Sonneblick.
And Mark.
And so we'll see. A couple more. Luther by Kendrick. We already played that. This one written by Jack Antonoff, Roswitha Larisha Becha, Matthew Bernard, Scott Bridgeway, Sam Du, Inc., Kendrick Lamar, Solana Rao, Mark Anthony Spears, Kamasi Washington.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. Already talked about it. Awesome song. Man Child, Sabrina Carpenter, written by Amy Allen, Jack Antonoff, and Sabrina Carpenter. Mm-hmm. Another small team.
Amy Allen's in this
speaking.
List twice.
Yeah, and so is Jack Antonoff.
Yeah.
Okay, Wildflower, Billie Eilish, which this one was puzzling to me because we considered the record it's on, Hit Me Hard and Soft, for Album of the Year last time. It's just that this was released as a single later. So if you want to hear our extensive thoughts on that album, we talked about it on last year's Grammys and we both really liked it. Written by Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell.
Mm-hmm.
Good song.
Good song.
Very, very pretty song. Yep. Very cool representation of that album. So who's going to win? And who do you want to win?
I think Golden will win.
Yeah.
They swept at the Oscars, which was recently. I think that, like, there's, for the reasons I previously stated.
Wait, the Oscars? You mean the Golden Globes?
The Golden Globes.
Oscars haven't happened yet.
I'm so sorry, guys. And I think it is a well-written, beautifully written song. The lyrics are really powerful. I think it crossed genres in a way that we haven't seen a song like do for a long time. I'd love to, I think that will win. I think it's deserved, but also Kendrick, also Doechii.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting. We're thinking the same. So my favorites of these songs are Anxiety and Luther.
Yeah.
So Doechii and Kendrick. But from a songwriting perspective, I feel like I have to give it to Golden.
It's like,
it's actually a good song, written
great.
Well, and people love it. This is a good award for it to win.
Right.
I would say. So basically nothing new to talk about except for literally one, but record of the year.
Mm.
I'm not listing off everybody who produced these because they're all massive teams. And the reason I even did that before was to highlight the difference in some of the sizes. But DTMF by Bad Bunny, I will play a clip here because part of what makes the record of the year contention interesting is the production of it. And it's got this mix of all these styles, which is a pretty impressive feat from a producing standpoint.
Hey, ojalá que los míos nunca se muden. Y si hoy me emborracho, pues que me ayuden. De cuando te tuve, te vi darte más besos y abrazo las veces que pude. Ojalá que los míos nunca se muden.
So what else we got? A bunch of stuff we've already talked about. Sabrina Carpenter, Manchild, Doechii, Anxiety, Billie Eilish, Wildflower, Lady Gaga, Abracadabra, Luther, Kendrick Lamar with SZA, Rosé and Bruno Mars, Aputa, and then one we haven't talked about, which is Chapel Roan, The Subway. Funny, she's sounding almost Sabrina Carpenterian there, her vocal.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song, though, and
it
well
is a beautiful
produced.
Song. And that's like, I think for this category, like, I still, it's very easy for me to discern song of the year and like songwriting more than the production. Cause it, for me, a lot of it's lost on me. I mean, you have more of an, for sure, more of an expert ear about producing. So I'm wondering, like, what your pick is for this in terms of just production alone.
So it's not just production alone, though, because it's also the performance, right?
Okay.
So this is the artist, too. So that's why I think they have best pop vocal performance, which is just like how well is Chapel Roan singing. And then there's best production. This is sort of both of those things. So I feel like with this mix, since none of these are really featuring crazy dynamic vocal performances that are like blowing my mind, just the virtuosity or whatever, I am leaning more producery. And so for me, I feel like it's DTMF or Luther. I feel like we're going Bad Bunny or Kendrick, but but I don't know, like, because it's like Aputa is like pop perfection also, sort of,
right?
But so is Golden, and that's not on this list.
And
right,
like the Doechii track is like, that is well produced.
But the Doechii track is very simple. It's like you've got a backing sample and then she's doing her thing.
I guess that's like what I don't,
I feel like that one would
the
be
nuance.
The performance side of
okay,
it, not the
cool.
production. I, personally, like, I don't know. But it's hard for me to predict this one. Where are people going to go? Because also, like, Wildflower is awesome. And the Subway, that Chapel Roan song we just heard, is beautiful. Like, it's there's really nothing beautiful. Wrong with the performance or the production. I just kind of don't know where the people who vote, like, go with their right. priorities here.
And
it's a
so
weird category.
It's so hard to, like, compare some of these, like, Bad Bunny and Chapel Roan together. And it's like apples and oranges.
Who is, what is better, an apple or a Lamborghini?
Right.
Well, it depends on how hungry you are, right? Yeah. And where you want to be, right? It's
yeah.
It's hard. They're not that different, but they're pretty darn different. So,
and like, I think that that's the interesting thing about the Grammys is we have all these categories that like should be broken out more.
Yeah.
Like there's so much music that goes unrecognized and so many artists that are overly recognized. Like,
yeah.
Let's spread it around a little bit more.
It's really interesting to see, speaking of recognition and stuff like that, like, what are the Vegas odds on the next year's Grammys? Slackademic's record being album of the year. If you bet $1, everybody listeners, if you all bet $1 that the Slackademic's album pass fail, you stand, will win record of the year or album of the year rather, mm-hmm. you stand to make probably literally millions of dollars. So I would say, is that worth the risk? It might be. The odds are probably comparable to buying a lottery ticket.
I mean,
so go for it.
I know you're joking around, Mark, but your album has so much potential to just propel you into the stratosphere. It's so good. Everyone should check it out and buy it on insert website
Bandcamp.
Here. Bandcamp.com.
And then I don't need to do this stupid podcast anymore.
Hey!
Nevermind the Music is hosted by Nicole Vacher and hosted and produced by Mark Poppany. You can email us at nevermusicpod@gmail.com and give us a follow on social media. Nevermind the Music is also part of the Lorehounds Network. Please join the conversation on their Discord server. Thanks for listening.